our interest is symmetry between male and female principle. With our relation work, we cause a third existence, which carries vital energy. This third energy existence caused by us does not depend on us any longer, but has the own quality which we call that self. Three as a number means nothing else but that self. Immaterially transmitted energy causes energy as a dialogue from us to the sensibility and the mind of eyewitness who becomes an accomplice. We choose the body as the only material which can make such an energy dialogue possible. From that moment on, we decide for a radical change in our existence, what means no fixed living place, permanent movement, direct contact, local relation, self-selection, passing limitations, taking risks, mobile energy. In the performances, we try, by certain employment of the body, to get free from rationality. In this process, we using the will as a vital transmitter to liberate extra energy. When we have the fixed time and place, we start to perform by entering into our own mental and physical construction. We start in a very rational state with the idea to bring into life this concept. But after that rational beginning, there comes the moment when we transmit in our own peace, where is the complete identification with the concept, at the same time less and less consciousness and rational control. It is somehow a situation where we cannot remember later what was happening. In that moment, we are absolutely doing what we are doing, but we don't think. That point is very strong, and I cannot speak about it. We come to the end of the piece, and the end of each of us is always different. It's completely open and personal. The stage of less consciousness, which probably is the most important stage to get to the point of confrontation with your own limitations. The confrontation with limitations, they are always different, because we never repeat our first and the point. We live reality as it is. In the given space, there are no symbols, no decorations. All statements have some kind of physical nature. They are very simple. They never explain anything. They are not theoretical. Their statements where I can say, I walk to the wall, I touch the wall, I run to the wall and hit my
do what they call a pre-flight inspection. I walk around the plane real slowly, looking carefully. I look at the little stainless tube that sticks up in front of the canopy. It's hooked up to the airspeed indicator inside the glider. I look at the skid underneath the nose to make sure it's thick enough. I open and close the tow hook. I look at the single tire behind the skid. I test the bolts at the bottom of the wing strut with my fingers to see if they are loose. I run my hand along the wing, looking for any loose rivets. I open and close the dive brakes to make sure they are working. They are also called spoilers because they pop out, spoiling the smooth flow of air over the wings and making the plane sink much faster than normal. I test the flaps on the back edge of the wings that make each wing tip down or up. I look for tears in the canvas fabric. At the tail, I grab the back wing to make sure it's attached securely. I move the elevator up and down. I grab the rudder, wiggle it back and forth, shake the tail, look at the cables and rods that make these things work. Look at the hinges. Glider flying is hard enough when everything works. I don't want part of the plane falling off when I'm up there. After I get in the plane, I go through another checklist. I adjust the altimeter to 3,500 feet, the altitude of the airport. Fasten the belts and shoulder harness. It took about 45 flights before I got this right. I always had the lap belt across my stomach instead of my hips. One day I got it right, it felt really good, and I knew I was learning how to fly. Close and lock the air brakes. Make sure the trim control is all the way forward. It makes the control stick stiffer for landings and takeoffs. When you're flying, you adjust it several notches back so the control stick feels neutral. This all sounds pretty easy and dumb, but riveted to the control panel is a little placard with a list that goes something like A for altimeter, B for belts, C for canopy, D for dive brakes, etc. I always find myself reading this list compulsively three or four times. Taking off with something wrong isn't like driving around in your car with your handbrake on or your door half closed. Thumbs up to the line boy. He lifts my wing and bounces the plane on a single wheel. Wag my rudder back and forth to the tow plane. The tow plane wags back and starts accelerating. A few bumps. Keep the wings level. I try to let the glider fly itself off the ground. If you lift off too soon, you can pull the tow plane's tail up in the air and smash its nose into the ground. The tow plane struggles along. It's always a relief when I finally see it lift off. Things really happen quickly in these first few seconds, and it's always tense until we turn and clear the power lines at the end of the runway. Once my instructor picked me to simulate a tow rope break, he pulled my release knob about 2 seconds into the flight. The tow plane slips across my canopy to the left, and the horizon is sliding. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Wow.